Atlee's daughter. So I think she's coming out today, supposedly. So just some minor, I don't think, nothing life-threatening, just some minor things going on. But first I heard about it was 2 minutes ago. So keep her in your prayers as well. This day in history, March 23rd, does anyone know it? March 23rd, 1775. Do you know what happened on that date? Huh? That's exactly right. Give me liberty or give me death. Do you know who said that? Patrick Henry. Patrick, Larry, thank you very much, buddy. So Patrick Henry, March 23rd, 1775, in Richmond, Virginia, stood before 100 members of Congress and people within the government at the time, and well, how it was structured under Britain, right? And gave a speech. And that speech, just a couple little parts of that speech, I love the history of the United States. And so just a little bit of what he spoke of in his speech, how many years ago, I just kind of broke out. So he said, "No man thinks more highly than I do of patriotism, as well as abilities of the very worthy gentlemen who have just addressed the House." So he was coming out to speak. "But different men often see the same subject in different lights." Isn't that so true? Very scriptural, right? "And therefore, I hope it will not be thought disrespectful to those gentlemen." And then Patrick Henry continued to go out and unfold into his speech. And then he went to say, "Should I keep back my opinions at such time? Through fear or giving offense, I should consider myself as guilty of treason towards my country and of an act of disloyalty toward the majesty of heaven, which I revere above all kings." So Patrick Henry was talking about his reverence to God, right? Or above all else, God's number one. He continued, and I'm not giving his whole speech. I'm just kind of breaking stuff out. He continued, "Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God," he said. And then the phrase that caught the attention that we still know today, we don't know many parts of that speech, but the catchphrase, right, of that speech was, "I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death," right? That's what we know, Patrick Henry. And that really, as the Colonial Congress and everybody set things forward, that was a moment where in our history that we really continued to pull away from Britain. And, yeah, I just love that history. Give me liberty or give me death, right? And that's what Jesus has done for us. We were born in sin. And he gives us freedom. So, March 23rd, 1775, that took place in Richmond, Virginia. With that being said, just a quick, what was Patrick Henry's favorite tea? Do you know? This is documented as well. It's liberty. Yeah, he loved liberty. So give me liberty or give me death. So, but anyway, fishing season is coming around. So I had a couple fishing jokes. Best way to catch a school of fish. You know the best way to catch a school of fish? With a bookworm. That is the best way to catch a school of fish. And then why don't fish play volleyball? They don't like to get caught in the net. Yep. All right. So anyway. Today's message, we're looking at repurposing. And do you ever repurpose something? You know, like the whole repurpose thing? Before we go, let's just open a prayer. Lord, speak to us this morning as we open your word. Help us to honor you. Help us to love you. Help us to look at what you did in Saul's life as we begin to look at Saul this morning. And just speak to us. Help us, Lord, to be individuals that don't back down from speaking our biblical opinions that we need to share in today's world, Father. And let me pray. Amen. Repurposing. So there, a couple years ago, have you ever been to Hershey Chocolate? Not the chocolate factory, but the tour? Chocolate World, right? Do you ever go through that? Do you ever go through there? So at the Chocolate World, I don't know if it's still there in this way, but they had these old tubs, like the tub that you would take a bath in. And in these tubs, so they were trying to figure out how to transfer chocolate from one place to another. And the story was that these farmers at the time were like, well, if we had tubs like that you take a shower and we put them on wheels, we could fill up a tub and roll it across the floor and dump it into the other hopper. So that's what they did. Like the farmers got, you know how farmers, like at the time, farmers could just see things and create things and engineer stuff. They could just get it done, right? And they still are like that. And so they made these tubs and they put wheels on them and they transfer them. And they showed that in Chocolate World. And a matter of fact, you can still buy them online. So they don't use them anymore. Obviously, sanitary conditions. So they went from regular porcelain tubs and then they made these stainless steel tubs. And you can see the cast iron ones online for like an eBay. And now they have them repurposed and they have these tubs and they have the wheels on them and they show pictures of them with flower beds. To repurpose, right? So they repurposed number one from a tub to another form. Now they're repurposing these tubs to a flower bed or to a fire pit. So things are being repurposed. And as we look at this morning, as we look at Acts chapter 9, verse 1, we're starting in. I don't know how far we're going to get in here because there's a lot of stuff because which we've been introduced and you guys know, many of you, about the life of Saul/Paul. So that's what we're looking at this morning and wanted to look at how Saul's life was repurposed for how God wanted him to be, right? And for us, the huge impact that Paul had on the gospel. Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 1. We're going to read tonight verse 19. I don't know if we're going to get all the way through 19. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, the church, right, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could not see anything. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias," "Yes, Lord," he said. The Lord told him, "Go to the house on Judas on Straight Street and ask for the man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints." He was still the murderous guy, threats, persecuting the church. Verse 14, and he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell off of Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. We might read part of this going forward again, because there's so much stuff in here that I really just really wanted to start peeling back this life of Saul, because Saul was such he was like the how do you even say it? Who saw what Paul? Like the all-time superhero of missionaries, right? He was sold out. He was dedicated. And once he got something in his sight, he was going forward. And that's how he was. So, when I think about that, and you open up the very first statement here, it said, "Meanwhile." And 9 says, "Meanwhile." So last week we looked at who? Philip. Philip, as he was preaching and as Philip was traveling, as Philip was running to the chariot. Remember, he was running to the chariot to present the gospel to the Ethiopian eunuch. That was taking place. And many times we read scripture, and I know for me, you read something that's compartmentalized. This happened. This happened. This happened, and you know what I mean? It's kind of like this is all, but this is happening at the same time. So Philip, so great how the Spirit can just work his thing, right? He can just do what he wants. Jesus is talking to Saul. The Spirit is talking to Philip, because it's at the same time. It's kind of like in the book of Judges. Judges was this time frame of the Judges, and the book of Ruth is in that same time frame. It breaks it out, and here's the book of Ruth. It was all happening within that same time frame. That's what's going on here. So as the Spirit and as Philip was talking to the Ethiopian eunuch, at the same time, Saul, still persecuting the Christian church, goes to the high priest and says, "I want to," and think about this. This is kind of how Saul, the drive behind Saul. So Saul, who at 12, 13 started, being taught from the Rabbi Gamaliel, of the full Torah, the full prophecy, the full understanding of the Jewish law. So Saul, which also that we see, why did he hate the Christians so much? Why was he there being partaking of killing of Stephen? It was for one purpose. Why did they do it? Why did it happen? Why did the Pharisees kill Jesus? Same thing. Because they saw that this was blasphemy against God, right? That's the mindset of Saul. Same time this is all taking place, Saul goes to the high priest and says, "High priest, these guys are blasphemous against God. They are going against God's law. We need to persecute them. We need to shut them down. We need to kill them or imprison them because they're blasphemous to God," right? That's what was going on. So that's who Saul was. So from a young age, he learned all this stuff. He was taught, knew all the legalities of it, to the point that he goes to the high priest to get the certified letters, right, to get the correct documents to be able to travel from Jerusalem up to Damascus, 150 miles, maybe a 4 or 5 day journey, to kill Christians, to bring Christians back to Jerusalem, just for the purpose of these guys are blasphemous against God. Saul was a sold out individual and he was driven. He was driven. You know, some people, when they take their belief and they take their love for something, their desires, like Paul was a religious extremist to that extent, right? That's who he was. His purpose at the time, as a Jewish man, under the Jewish law, under the Jewish legal system, his whole purpose was to persecute Christians, to shut down the church, to bring all these people back, these Jews, back to Jerusalem because they were going against what God said in what they said, what God said in Scripture. That was the whole purpose. Then all of a sudden we see this whole thing take place. In the same time that the Spirit's talking to Philip, the same time Philip is sharing the gospel while he's going down to Caesarea in the north, now is being confronted with Jesus Christ himself. And so you think about this. So Paul, which he talks about himself as how great he was as the perfect Jew, the perfect Jewish person to follow the law. If you look in Philippians, we're going to jump over Philippians chapter 3. Starting verse 4, this is Paul talking. Though I myself have reasons, okay, we're starting verse 2. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those manipulators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship the Spirit of God, who glory in Jesus Christ and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for such confidence. He's talking of himself now. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more succumbed on the eighth day. They're getting worse, buddy. They're getting worse. I have more confidence. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, I was a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church. He was persecuting the church. He was going out there to round them up and bring them back to Jerusalem. As for legalistic righteousness, I was faultless. He had all the stuff, all the things that had to take place for a Jewish person to follow the law. Paul was it. He was it. Persecuting the church. Now you think about this when people talk about, and I hear people talk about, well, yeah, I don't know if Jesus was real. And there's certain, like, you remember I tell you, I always go back to, and like, you hang your hat on some things. Like, if you ever start to doubt who Jesus was, because I've never had a vision to Christ like this, right? Has anyone been walking down a road and Jesus, an angel comes and light comes all around you and there's Jesus talking to you? That's never happened to me. I mean, I've seen God's hand work miracles, but I've never had Jesus Christ come before me and say, Jeff, what in the world are you doing? Never happened. So if that did happen, now this happened to a guy such as Saul, who was anti-Christian, like worse than what we see today with the anti-Semitism, right? He was out there with documents from the high priest, full authority under the Jewish legal system to round up the Jewish people and bring them back and to imprison them or stone them for blasphemy. And so he had all that going on. And that was his mind. And then all of a sudden, as he's walking, that's in his mind, you know, the hatred towards these fellow Jews, to these Christians, that's what was in his heart, this hatred to these people. Then all of a sudden, you have this miraculous encounter with Jesus on the road, and the light comes up, and what do you think? So the repurposing that happened here of Paul, Saul, later on become Paul, happened right here. This repurpose. Saul's purpose was to follow the legal system, to follow the Jewish tradition, to persecute these Christians. And he went on to say how great he was in the flesh to follow that. And that was his road. That was his purpose. That's where he was moving towards. And all of a sudden on this road to Damascus, a repurposing takes place. It's like, do you ever see the tires? Do you ever see the repurposed tires? They have the tires, like when I was a kid, when I was on a playground, we had, at the time, like when I was a kid, they repurposed like poison ivy. And they ran it through the chipper and it went out into the playground. And by the time you're done, 2 days later, you have poison ivy all over your, because they just use chips and that's what we had, or rocks, or now they repurpose tires and they take tires and they take the metal out and they grind them up and they put them through the grinder. Now our kids and our grandkids have these great, playground sets, and all over the ground is these nice soft, I mean, the kids are soft today, right? These nice soft little rubber things that the kids, if they fall down, they don't hurt their little leg or, you know, come on, get back to the sticks. You come up with splinters, you know, turns you into something. But they repurposed the tires. And that's what was happening. Saul was being repurposed. And the repurposing, he was like, this guy was going to go through the grinder. That's what Jesus began to say. And he said that to Ananias, that he doesn't even understand what he's going to have to suffer for my name's sake throughout the rest of his life. But Saul, loving God the way he did, he was a driven individual. Who, you think about a driving individual, there's people that I think of that are driven people. They just drive and they get more energy when they are driven. And not to get political, but I when I see my president, he reminds me of that same type of person, a driven individual. So our current president has been, you know, for years has been yelled at and called all sorts of stuff. Is he perfect? No, I'm not comparing President Trump with Saul Paul. I'm just saying that personality structure. The personality structure of our current president is he shot at, killed at, tried to be killed, tried to put him into jail, tried to all this stuff, but the guy just keeps going. He just keeps pushing. He keeps going forward. He's lost money. He's made money. He just keeps going. they say this about him, they say that about him. He has to liquidate some assets or whatever to keep going. But he just keeps going. He keeps going. He keeps going. He has his purpose. He's a driven individual. That's the type of person that I see how Paul was. He was a driven individual. He loved God, wanted to serve God, and he was on this track of the Jewish system to serve God, and he was doing great in it, and then that repurposing came, and Jesus comes to him, presents himself to him, and at that moment, Saul, why did they change his name? I mean, it keeps messing me up. So Saul at that point says, wow, I'm not following God the way I'm supposed to. I don't want to persecute God. Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? So Jesus comes face to face with Saul and confronts him. Saul, with Jesus knew, had a personality that loves God and had to be repurposed to love Jesus, understand that Saul knew the prophecies. He understood the prophecies. He was trained since he was a young guy about the prophecies. And he had to understand that those prophecies were fulfilled by Jesus. And once he saw that, once he understood, once he was confronted in this miraculous light and Jesus speaking to him and meeting with him, he was repurposed. Repurposed into Paul, the greatest missionary of all time, the probably the biggest writer of the New Testament because of his knowledge of Scripture and the knowledge now of who Jesus Christ was, is Paul. And it happened. It started right here. In the meantime, while Philip was out presenting the gospel, Jesus, in the meantime, was meeting with Saul. And they had this time of a repurposing. When I think about that, do we need to repurpose ourselves? You know, so many times we look at Scripture, and I always try to look at Scripture, and I love the historical documents, and I love God, and I love the creation story, and I love the information that we have in the Bible. But I always feel like what we have here is, how can we transfer what was taking place here and put it into our life today? Because as people, we kind of get stagnant sometimes. I know I do. And sometimes we need to repurpose. Sometimes we are set in the way, and we're going, and we're driven, and we get driven on selfish ambition. We get driven on if it's money or if it's fame, pride, whatever, kind of like what Saul was saying, how he was. We get driven. When you step back, are we following the purpose that God wants us to follow? I think about David Flam, who just passed away, was a man. I've only met him once. You guys probably know him better than me, but when at the text, I just thought that was the first missionary that I met from this church 2 years ago. And when we sat there and had conversation of his ministry, he was alive. He was talking of what the vision was for their ministry. He was talking of what they do within their ministry, how they train people. 2 years ago, looked healthy, looked fine. And all of a sudden, dead. Right? Our purpose, just as Saul's purpose, the purpose was, yeah, I love God, but the purpose is, are we living our life for Jesus Christ? Are we listening to the Spirit in our life to step out just as Saul did and repurpose ourselves to say, okay, it's not about me. It's not about what I want to do. And you know what I'm saying? It's like you have time for yourself and that type of stuff. And don't get me wrong there. Like, if you like to golf, you know, go golf. Or if you like to, you know, clean your Audi, you can clean your Audi. That's perfectly fine, Dick. Right? No, sorry, Dick. I love your Audi. But if you, and I wasn't making that as a cut on anything else other than, but if we are so concentrated sometimes on what we see and we don't peel ourselves off to repurpose our life, that we can lose track. I know it happens to me all the time. All the time it happens to me. Where I'm on track doing, being driven in a certain way. And if I'm driven in a certain way, I'm trying to get a product done. I'm trying to make some money. I'm trying to do a project that has to take place. And so many times I lose track and I have to step back and repurpose and say, okay, this is where I need to be. This is where I need to be. And I have to put some stuff down and I have to repurpose. Just like the tubs were repurposed for chocolate. Instead of taking the tub, a bath, they took the bathtub and filled it with chocolate and they repurposed it. Just like you take tires that are spent tires and they grind them up and now all of a sudden they become mulch for your playground. Or take your life, just like Saul, and his purpose at the time was a driven individual to drive for God, but was missing the point. As a religious extremist, he's missing the point of now what the prophecy said about Jesus Christ as the Messiah. We're going to continue down to 19 the next couple weeks, but there's so much stuff here. But Saul was this driven man. And once he came to the understanding of who Jesus Christ was as the Messiah, took all his training, all his knowledge, all everything in his guts, his whole personality, because that's the type of guy he was. He was an all-in type of guy, wasn't he? And he took that all-in type of guy and rolled it now into, I really understand who Jesus Christ is as the Messiah. And he went all in. But we're going to leave here now when he's blind. He's blind. Meanwhile, Philip was sharing the gospel. Meanwhile, Saul was losing his sight, having an encounter with Jesus Christ. And that's where we're going to leave it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, if I could just have a little touch of what Saul and that drive that he had, to, he was so focused on loving God the Father and then loving Jesus that he would listen. He was all in. He was focused. He just presented the gospel time and time and time and time again. Lord, if you could just give us a little bit of that, help us to see that spirit that worked into Paul's life, that the same spirit is here for us. Lord, help us as we continue our walk. Help us to just take a little piece of that and put it into our kids' life, put it into our neighbor's life, put it into our grandkids' life or our great-grandkids' life, Lord, that remembering that our time is short and that we need you as our Savior. And people might only hear that from us as we're traveling our road. Lord, help us to take that and help us to purpose ourselves into being a presenter of the gospel of your love, of your salvation, Lord. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the time. In your name we pray. Amen. As we leave, once again, the purpose of our church, and you can get up, you can start gathering your stuff together. Coffee and donuts are in the back. I'm just going to end it up with this, but feel free to stand up and walk around. The purpose of this church shall be to reach lost people, to establish and strengthen the Christian life of each member, providing opportunities for worship, instruction, fellowship, and service, brotherly love, counsel, and evangelism. That's what our purpose is. Our purpose. All right, we're dismissed.